All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Early April edition of the show today, and we've got lots to talk about. Thank you for joining us. We are getting ever closer to the draft. I swear it's going to be really soon now. And it's one of the things we'll talk about today, along with a couple other things. I have to admit, and I was trying to think of a tactful way to say this when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about on the show, because you have to know your audience, right? This is Joe Bucks Fan. A lot of you guys out there are amped up for the draft. You're spending every spare minute refreshing Joe Bucks Fan, as you should be, and a number of other websites and Twitter and anything you can think of, trying to get the latest draft news, gobbling up mock drafts. Any type of talk about it at all, you want to consume it. And that's great. I mean, that is great. But I have to admit, and again, this may turn off some of the people, a lot of the people that are more likely to listen to a show like this anyway, this is the time of year when I start to get draft resentment, start to resent the draft a little bit. And not because of the draft itself, but because they need to just have the damn draft. You know, you finish the Super Bowl, and first of all, let me say this before I start off. I enjoy the draft itself. I'll watch it. It's fun. It's good TV. It's a spectacle. I'm not a draft season guy. Like, hey, it's draft season. You listen to some of these guys, and when I say some of these guys, I'm talking about my own friends. They get as excited for this time of year as they do for the actual games. It's like the pro football equivalent of the recruiting guys in college. I got friends who are like, hey, did you hear this guy, he's going in for a visit. I don't, you know, oh, that's good. I mean, obviously it's the lifeblood of a program. It matters. It's just not newsy to me. Like, I don't need to hear about every detail. And it's kind of the same with the draft. Like, there's no denying how important what's about to happen is, and what is happening even right now is, because the preparation is all going on right now. The draft itself is just the day. Not going to deny how important it is, but man, I don't need to hear like my buddy John's personal preference on Saquon Barkley versus a defensive line. I don't care what he thinks. Honestly, I don't really care what anybody thinks except for Jason Light, who's not going to tell us what he's thinking, nor should he until we actually see what he's thinking when the draft comes. Like, I don't care that Mel Kiper or Todd McShay, oh, they have the Bucs going defense, but then McShay changed his, and now he has them going off. And they'll actually put these things on these scrolls, the bottom line on ESPN, or all the channels have them now. They'll actually put, like, a little breaking news icon, which just slays me. Breaking news! Kiper's latest mock draft has Darnold going here. Like an actual news event took place because Mel Kiper changed where a person was going to be drafted from one mock draft to the next. And people eat it up with a spoon. And I'm not ridiculing you. Listen, I know it's going to sound like I'm ridiculing the very people who I rely on to listen to my podcast, and that might sound crazy. But I was, again, preparing for the podcast, and doing a podcast is not like doing a talk show every day, which I used to do. You know, doing a podcast I do once a week, and all week long I'm trying to think, in, hey, what might be a good thing to talk about, and sometimes I'll just be out driving or out doing something with my kids or my family, or it just things pop up everywhere, and I say, hey, I want to talk about that on my podcast. I keep a little notepad on my cell phone, and I'll just, you know, type in real quick, oh yeah, here's a little bullet point, bring this up on the show this week. There's all kinds of things. So as I was doing that this week, I was consuming some of the same media we all consume, and again, I was just kind of starting to get resentful of it, like, thinking, you know, I'm not going to go on the show this week and talk more about, do I want to get, you know, Quentin Nelson, or do I want to get Saquon Barkley, or do I want, is Chubb still going to be, or what about Denzel Ward, or what about Derwin, you know, we've been through that 100,000 times, and y'all can get that anywhere. It's basically, to me, first of all, it's too long. Like I was saying, the Super Bowl happens, and then, okay, fine, a couple weeks after that, you're kind of in withdrawal, because football season itself is the greatest. I love football season. Wish it could always be football season. But okay, you know, the Super Bowl just ended. Let's take a couple weeks. And then you start getting toward combine season. And it's still fresh then. Like, yeah, combine. Okay, this will be cool. Underwear Olympics. Let's see it. Give me some numbers. Give me some measurables. And I get into that just like everybody else. I was watching it. And I'm a workout guy. I do, you know, sports strength and conditioning stuff on my own. I have an interest in that type of thing. So just strictly from that perspective, the combine does it for me. And then that can get a little bit, you know, again, no matter what you're going to see, it's going to be overkill. I mean, people are tweeting out guys' measurements one by one. That's overkill. But a lot of people do that. You know, East-West Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, that's here at the Trop, all that stuff, fine. Combine, fine. Then the combine ends, and you're like, okay, yeah, like that primes you. Like, you're really ready once the combine ends. And then, nothing for a few. Like we're still like 3 weeks away. It's like, you know, like the combine ended a few weeks ago. I think like right about now, I wouldn't do it Masters weekend, because at least for me, the Masters is like a hallowed, sacred weekend. But like really next weekend would have been fine for the Dreads. We have to wait for the end of April. Like we can't have it like this coming week. So there'll be weeks and weeks more of all these reports. And again, people have to fill the time with something. I get it. I do it too. But you hear, oh, Derwin James was there today. And so-and-so. Now they had Nelson there. Look, all the guys are going to be there at $1. They're going to host all the guys. Every team's going to host all the guys. And if you're covering this stuff, you have to report it. I get that. But it's not terribly newsworthy, in my opinion. And again, as somebody who hosts one of these shows, I'm not complaining about hosting a show. I could talk about anything on the issue, and you don't have to like it. You cannot listen, or you can listen. Some people love it when I talk about non-Buck stuff. Some people don't like it. That's fine. I'm just saying, like, all this build-up to it, and I'm like, you know, we could really just have it, you know? Like, there's no need. I know the NFL loves it, too. They want it to be drawn out. Remember that time they had it in May? They, like, extended it even more? My God, I get it. So, when it comes up very soon, and the latest now is that, you know, again, when I say the latest, these are just people saying things. Nothing is actually happening that's concrete. And all the things that actually are happening that are concrete are things we would never know about. That's the part that, of all these things about the draft, that's the part that kills me the most. All the things we gasp about, oh, here's news, aren't news, but there is real news a lot of times. We have no idea what the real news is as it's happening. We'll find that out later after the fact. I will say there's probably one reason to have the draft a little bit later, and that's because if what I'm hearing is true about the Joe Bucks fan draft party that Commish Online, my friend Justin Pulowski, is putting together along with the Joes and Ira and everybody, they're going to need as much time as they can to plan. You guys are going to want to be there Thursday night, you know, of the draft, the first round. It's at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry in South Tampa, which is like driver 5-iron from my house. I mean, I live in that neighborhood, so I'm excited. But what they're doing over there, I mean, it's... The draft party is going to be unbelievable. I mean, he's blocking off hotel rooms. Are you kidding me? He's got a special rate for people coming from out of town for hotels for this party. And I just may make an appearance. Not that any of you need to, unless you want to just register your disgust with me in person. You know, you can look for the athletic, muscular, bald guy who looks like he's ready to finally drop a deuce after months of being hearing draft talk over and over and over. And that's just the first round that night. And the rest of it's over the weekend. But they're going to need some time to plan. You can keep following, you know, follow this show. Of course, all the podcasts here on JoeBucksFan.com are phenomenal. And what Justin has built as far as the draft part, and they've been doing these for a few years now, but this year, I mean, hotel rooms, you credit. I'm looking forward just to seeing everything they have unfurled out there. And it's always good to get around the fans. As far as the draft itself, just so I will do a little draft talk for you. The latest is some people have been making a case for the Bucks to take Saquon Barkley. All these scenarios keep popping up. What are the Browns going to do? You know, the Giants, now they're in the driver's seat with the trade they've made, all this stuff. So we don't know how it's all going to unfold. But I will just say this much about Saquon Barkley or any running back. I'm against it. I mean, I'm against it in general. I'm definitely against it from the Bucks standpoint, even though it's a position of need, just because they have so many other needs, especially defensively. And I feel like unless you go with Nelson, they went with Nelson, that'd be one thing because, you know, that's obviously a very big need, and they did address at least the defensive line a lot in free agency. And I know they got the center as well, but like I'd be okay with Nelson, but if not, Nelson needs to be defense to me. You know, whether it ends up being, I don't know if Chubb will be there at this point, or Derwin James, or even Denzel Ward, or one of those types, or Vea, you know, whoever it is, like, that's fine, but when you have a running back, the way that position has evolved in the NFL, and I know there's two camps on this, I know some people just dig in on it, some people are a little more flexible, I'm just one of those guys, I don't see the value in drafting a running back high, ever. Like, literally, almost ever. And it's not because the running backs you draft high aren't good players. I'm not saying, like, Saquon Barkley isn't going to be good. It's just that even good running backs aren't as big of a deal as they used to be, number one. And number two, you can still get other good running backs later in the draft, or not even at all in the draft. So it's not saying, oh, don't take Saquon Barkley because he's not going to be that good. He might be a stud. But it's like, okay, he's a stud. Like, even the running backs that end up being really good, do they change their teams? Like, and no one guy besides maybe a quarterback is going to change a team. I get that. So I'm not trying to place an unfair burden on the running back position. But I kind of feel the same with receivers, too. I mean, Mike Evans is a classic example. I love having Mike Evans. I remember being upset about when we drafted Mike Evans because I said, oh, man, a receiver? It's like, you know, how many of these teams get these stud receivers? And even if the receivers are really good, it doesn't do anything. Look at A.J. Green. Look at Calvin Johnson. Those guys aren't busts. They're awesome, and their teams still suck. Julio Jones has made a difference for Atlanta in the past couple years, but before that, in his first few years of his career, nothing much happened. And Mike Evans as well. He's great. I mean, we really, really need him. And yet, it hasn't really changed the Bucks' fortunes that much. And again, it's not that I don't think you need those guys. That's just, I feel like you work from the ball outward. I really do. At least on the defensive side. And, you know, offense, when I say the ball outward, I mean the offensive line, not specifically the center, because you wouldn't draft the center that high. And it's the same with running back. I mean, Saquon Barkley might be a stud, or Geis, or Sony Michel. I mean, that's the other thing. There's a ton of running backs this year. Like, you don't have to get one that early. And even if those guys get gobbled up, you see guys get taken all matter of, you know, round, first round, second round, late round, free agent. And they work out, and I just don't feel like it's worth it. Look at Ezekiel Elliott. You know, again, he's great and everything, right? But, I mean, has he changed the Cowboys? Has having him made that? No, it's not. It's just, you know, it's a running back. It's a running back. You can get them. There's not a premium. So that's my feeling there. I don't think the Bucks will do that. Not that I even think he'll be there, but if Barkley was there, I don't think the Bucks would do that. And as far as the whole thing with the quarterbacks and the Browns, I should say this too, because I have to, if I'm going to say, hey, I told you so about something, I should also admit the bad stuff. When I was upset about the Bucks taking Mike Evans that year, and I was like, oh man, don't do this. Do something better. Come on. We need more of an impact. You know who I wanted instead? I'll be honest. I will own this till I die. I'm always going to tell you the truth on this show. I wanted Johnny Manziel. Loved him. Wanted him so bad. So it shows what the hell I know. One thing I'll promise you on this show, you know, I'm going to always try to entertain you. You may not always like it. You may not always be entertained. I can't guarantee that. Everybody's got different tastes. But I will always be honest with you about what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I've done in the past. And that Johnny Manziel, that was the Mike Evans draft, and I was like, come on, Manziel, this guy has it. Loved everything about him. Now, obviously, we know a lot more now than we knew then, and the Bucks probably knew it then. A lot of teams did. Apparently, the Browns didn't. They got him later, but you saw the story out this week that Manziel said, hey, listen, the Browns should have known I wasn't a football guy. I wasn't going to watch film 24/7. That's not my style. Browns should have known that. Not my fault. He actually said that this week as he's trying to get back in the league. And I still think, talent-wise, Manziel can be a good NFL quarterback. Obviously, I completely underestimated just how messed up in the head he was at that time. Now, he seems to have made some adjustments, and we'll see what he ends up doing if he gets back in the league or not. But in the meantime, if you're the Browns, you know, people are saying, what are the Browns going to do? The Browns are going to mess this up. They always mess it up. They've made lots of mistakes. But it does deserve to be said for the Browns, for all the mistakes they've made, they haven't, through all this whole period of, what has it been now, 15 years where they've just been awful? Because in the early 2000s, they snuck around the playoffs once or twice, I think I remember. But in all this time since then, all through the 2000s, all through the 20-teens that we're in now, as bad as the Browns have been, they haven't whiffed on a quarterback because they haven't actually taken one. Since they took Tim Couch really high, What year was that? I mean, that was early 2000s, right? They haven't taken a quarterback with a high pick since then. And, you know, we always hear about these teams changing their fortunes at how bad they were, and then they pick the right quarterback in those top few picks, and it turns them around. You see all the quarterbacks around the league who are so good, Tom Brady notwithstanding, and many of them, not all of them, but many of them, were high draft picks. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was in the late first round, but, you know, you hear teams all the time, hey, they were really bad, they drafted, oh, they got Peyton Manning, they got Andrew Luck, whoever it was for the Colts, you know, Giants got Eli, Phillip Rivers for the Chargers, all these guys, you know, these guys get drafted, they turn the team around. We're hoping that happens with Jameis. Browns haven't actually tried that and failed, they just haven't tried that. So, I think they have to try it now. I mean, if you're not going to draft a quarterback now, then what are you doing? Whether it's Darnold or Rosen or however they handle it, whatever it is, I have no idea, and I don't care about the Browns that much. But just thought that was worth noting. And I will admit, I wanted Johnny Manziel in the draft that we took Mike Evans. In fact, looking back over the years, and again, I'll freely admit this, it's kind of like every year there's a guy who I say, okay, I want this guy. Bucks almost never take that guy for me. Like, it'll be a pet thing with me. And, you know, about half the time I would have been right. They should have taken my guy instead of their guy. Half the time I would have been wrong that Bucks took a better guy than I would have taken. And I think that's probably the case with most fans. Looking back over the years, some examples. I mean, last year we took O.J. Howard. I wanted, and again, sometimes my guy is gone by the time the Bucks pick. I mean, this is what I'm saying before the draft. I was a big Malik Hooker guy last year. He ends up going to the Colts, but I was happy when they got O.J. Howard. You know, there have been years in the past, like I said, I was a Manziel guy. That was bad. I was a big Patrick Willis guy, who that would have been a good pick. I think that was the year we took Michael Clayton, who was all right. On and on and on and on. I mean, you could always look back over the years, but I will always go on record with you guys, and I will always admit it when I'm wrong, and you guys should do the same thing with yourselves. You know, whatever happens in a few weeks once this draft happens, remember what you're saying today. Remember what you said the past month or two, and own it after the draft. And that doesn't just go for 3 weeks from now. That goes for 3 years from now when we know how this draft turned out. One of the traditions I used to do on my old talk show, you always see people give out draft grades. That's going to be the popular thing in early May after the draft happens. So, all right, we're going to grade each team's draft, which is insanely dumb because none of the guys have actually played yet. But we'd always use the occasion on my show to hand out draft grades for the draft 5 years prior. We'd always just click back 5 years, and the same week of the draft, we grade the 5 years prior draft. And that's, you know, at least then you can give an honest grade. I don't know how you're going to grade anything now. You're just going to grade how much you like it. But I don't think the Bucks take Saquon Barkley. I don't think they should if that does happen. Any one of those defensive guys, and none of us know who's going to be the right pick or not. But like I said, was it the last show or two shows ago? It's really hard to find that guy. You're looking for the guy who's going to be on your team for, you know, 5 to 10 years, who's going to be an impact player for you. You know, maybe one day, if you're really lucky, you find a guy who you can put his name on that ring of honor we got there between the 300 level and the club level. Obviously, you can't do that every draft, but you're looking for that guy. So you're just trying to identify him, and it shouldn't matter as much what position he plays as do you think this is one of those guys. So that's why, you know, I could say, oh, I want Denzel Ward, or oh, no, I want Chubb, or I want Quentin Nelson. You know, we have no idea who the Bucks will take, but I wouldn't let what I need this 1 year dictate too much. I think teams need to look bigger picture with these picks more than they do. Now, that's easier said than done when you're in positions like Jason Light and Dirk Cutter are. My son is 6 years old. I drive with him and my daughter, who's 3, in the car a lot. I'm the one who takes him to and from school and does all that stuff. So we were driving the other day, and we had something on the radio. I can't remember what station it was, but somebody was talking about the draft and Jason Light and Dirk Cutter getting fired if this year doesn't go well. And my son, who's getting old enough now to start being inquisitive about sports like that, he said, Daddy, is the Bucks coach going to get fired? I said, well, that's a good question, son. You know, it's very possible. We don't know what's going to happen this year. And he said, well, and he's smart enough to, like, understand nuance in the conversation. Now he goes, well, wait a minute. If you don't have a good year, you get fired. I said, well, that's a good question too, son. Not necessarily. When you are a coach in the NFL or a general manager, Everybody's trying to do the same thing. Everybody wants to win. I'm trying to, it's kind of fun to have a kid because you explain things and you simplify them and you almost end up explaining it back to yourself while you're explaining it to your son, even though it's something you already know. It's kind of nice to reset things in simple terms. So I said, well, when you first get hired in the NFL, it's always with the expectation that you're going to win with this person you hired. Now, teams always give guys more than a season to do that, but the Bucs have had two seasons now with Dirk Koetter, and they didn't make the playoffs in either of them. And even though they won a little bit in the first season, last year was really bad. So this year, I said, if they don't win again, yes, he will get fired, and Jason Light will get fired. These guys are, I said, every NFL team's trying to do the same thing, but there can only be a few. That was the key. I told them that. I said, you know, there's 32 teams. Every one of those 32 teams thinks, oh, yeah, we're supposed to be in the playoffs. It's us. We should be one of them. But there's only 12 of them, and only six of those actually win a game in the first round. Or not even that many sometimes. I mean, depending on the buys and things like that. You know, so everyone thinks they're that team, but not everybody is. But the Bucks, as for us, yeah, we definitely should be that. Every fan says what I'm saying. I said, yeah, we should be that team. And the Glazers feel the same way. So I said, yeah, if they don't win, and he goes, and he's smart again. He says, well, what if they go 9-7? He says, then they'll have won more than they lost. And I said, well, that's a good question, buddy. I said, you know, 9-7 means you won more games than you lost, but sometimes 9-7 gets you in the playoffs, and sometimes it doesn't. And I said, I'm not sure it matters. I think if they go 9-7, it'll probably be enough to keep for Koetter and Light to keep their job. The whole point, though, is when you're running a franchise long-term, you make long-term decisions. Koetter and Light don't have that luxury right now. Now, hopefully the stars align, and the guy we need right now is also the guy we need for 5 to 10 years, and you make one of those picks that is good in any timetable. But if you got two guys and one plays a position, you really, really need one plays a position. Maybe you don't need as much, but you could have both of them, or either of them, I should say. And you think one has a chance to be, like, you should never say, oh, yeah, this guy, you know what? Solid guy. He's going to be a 10-year starter. He's going to be in this league for a long time. There's no question, just rock solid. Real low variance with this guy. You can count on this guy being good. Oh, but we kind of need this other position, so we're going to, no, take the guy you just talked about. Just take him. Even if it's not a direct need right then and there. If you really think that, nobody knows anything for sure, but if you really think that is my point. So anyway, we still have multiple weeks to the draft. We will have the NHL playoffs getting us started next week after the Masters. We got plenty, if you're a well-rounded sports fan like I am, plenty to get us through. Now, some of us aren't so well-rounded, and we're just draft. You know, you guys can, I'm sure, find a mock draft or something from God knows anybody on Twitter that they'll update once a day for the next 3 weeks and satisfy yourselves with that. Anyway, one other thing I want to talk about, and that is the circling of the drain of good taste continues. And I won't go too far into it, but the Tennessee Titans revealed their new uniforms last night. I'm recording this on Thursday, so it was Wednesday night. You could be listening to this at any point. But they revealed their new uniforms. Now, Nike is the uniform designer for the NFL. Nike is terrible. They are literally like, I put Nike down at the bottom of my list along with like serial killers and, you know, disease, famine, Nike. Like, I can't stand Nike. I don't wear Nike products. I don't put any money in Nike's pocket willingly, although I probably do it unwillingly. I generally hate everything they do. I hate their whole idea of what things should be like, and I resent them, and I will always resent them for the way the Bucks uniforms look right now. As long as they're in charge of NFL uniforms, it's going to keep happening. It happened again. The Titans' new uniforms are terrible, as is Nike's want. They've got a theme to them with swords and lots of angular striping and panels and just generally not that clean of a look. Now, the Titans' old uniforms were crap, too, so it's not that different. But the point I'm making isn't even about these specific uniforms. It's about what Nike's doing as part of a larger takeover. They've moved the spectrum of good taste so far down toward the drain, like I said, that now, when things are only kind of terrible instead of really terrible, we're so used to it that we say, I can't tell you how many people I saw that said, oh, you know, the Titans uniforms, not too bad. Like, those would be considered radically terrible back when good taste was still a thing. But again, as a society collectively, our taste is so bad now that people look at that and they go, okay, I can see how that. No, folks, they're terrible. Somebody even commented on a tweet to Joe, because there was a whole text or tweet string on it, and someone said how bad the Bucks uniforms are, which is they were correct. And another guy, actually, I shouldn't let what any individual person says bother me this much online. This is the whole reason why we are where we are. We get too many people, you know, everybody's got an opinion, everybody can put their opinion out there, but we got too many people, me included, who let other people's opinion bother them. And with most things, it doesn't, but with uniforms, it does. Like, I'm always watching, and every time somebody says something good about the Bucks uniforms, I'm like, oh, I get all in a tizzy, I gotta respond or something. I need to cut it out. I feel like I'm fighting a battle that I can maybe win, a battle of opinion and ideas, and eventually create change, and I can't. I'm an idiot for even thinking I can, but I keep thinking maybe if we, you know, if there's enough negativity about how the Bucks look, they can fix this soon. You know, we just need to get it out there. And anytime somebody says anything positive about it, I feel like I got to squash it out. So anyway, somebody was talking about how bad the Bucks uniforms are, which is good. I gave it a like, as I always do on Twitter. And then another guy came in and said, well, you know what? At least the Bucks change their uniforms every now and then. Not like these teams like the Packers and Cowboys and Raiders and Chiefs, who always look the same year after year. And I thought that human being in that moment was the stupidest person, maybe the stupidest person I've ever encountered. As if there's virtue in just changing something for the sake of change, even though it looks great. And then he reeled off all the teams in the league that really look good. Like, yeah, like, who wants to be like the Packers and the Steelers and the Cowboys and the Raiders? Those teams haven't changed their uniforms in years. Like, you're supposed to just change every 7 or 8 years because, hell, we haven't changed. No. Get your little pea-brain mind to a level where you don't need something shiny and flashy wiggled in front of it every 5 minutes to keep your attention span up, you dolt. I'm not going to name any names. I don't even know who the name of the person was. But my God, good taste, folks. Let's try to embrace taste again. Instead of this race to the bottom that Nike has sent us on. And jagoffs like Todd Van Horn. And the Glazers, too. Look, Nike is a vendor. And the teams are the client. Nike can't just change your uniforms. The teams have to approve it. So I blame the Titans. I blame the Glazers with the Bucks. I blame the Browns, who are already trying to fix their uniforms, although they got to preview them. I don't know what, you know, they didn't realize right when they saw them they were terrible, but they're trying to fix it. And on and on and on. Anyway, the new Titans look like garbage. The league is going down the drain uniform-wise. Give it another 10 years, and there'll be only 4 or 5 teams left that actually have ownership with half a clue to say, hey, these are icons. We've built these up over years and years for a reason. You can't touch them, Nike, because Nike will pick off whoever they can. They would take the American flag and redesign it with anthracite if you let those dickheads. I promise you they would. They're evil. They're sinister. I can't stand them. With all that said, it's BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. BobbyGameDay at Yahoo.com. Twitter at BobbyGameDay. The people who like Nike uniforms are the people, same people who like a spot foul for PI. Like, those are the same people, I bet. Like, they think that stuff's great. No clue, no ideas, no taste, no big picture awareness. Thank you for joining us. I'm in a better mood now than I was when I started the show. You might be in a worse mood, but I tell you right, I'll be back next week. The draft is coming up again. Get on that draft party. Buffalo Wild Wings, Southdale Mabry, Commish Online, Ira, the Joes, they're setting up something big. You'll see all the updates on JoeBucksFan.com. And I may even make an appearance, and you can come and tell me I'm a jag-off to my face if you can't stand the things I stand for right now. In the meantime, though, I still love all of you, and I still appreciate all of you, even the ones with horrible taste in uniforms, for joining me on this show. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the Free Stretch. Happy Masters weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Masters Sunday is one of the best days of the year, and this year's edition should be a really good one. I'm already going to go back inside right now and throw on Masters.com and watch the web coverage until the real coverage starts on TV. Everything else going on, the end of the hockey regular season, the Rays, that season sounds like it's already over. But all the things going on, enjoy them all. Be safe. The weather's beautiful. And I will talk to you next week. That's the Free Stretch, wherever you are. Good afternoon, good evening, good night.